Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4106, The Height of Low Expectations. What's in store for 2017? Welcome inside the Yellow Studio, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, inside the Yellow Studio where it is a toasty 75 degrees. Welcome to January 2017, kids. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host. Saw a quote, made a note of it. Larry David in an interview said, "I was raised to think that I couldn't do anything." And he was very serious about it. Funny line. Sad if it's true. Douglas Adams once said, "A life that is burdened with expectations is a heavy life. Its fruit is sorrow and disappointment." Is that too cynical for you? There is some truth to that, big time. Nobody will encourage you to set the bar low. Instead, people, they talk all the time about aiming for the stars, aim for the moon, or some other celestial body, because the logic just seems so sound. And well, it is. It sounds, it has a sound, but the sound is like nails on a chalkboard. It's not pleasant, and it's not something that's profitable. Aim high. Here's the logic. Aim high, and then if you miss, you'll at least be higher than you would have been otherwise. Sounds pretty good. Sounds good, but it's all wrong. Author Elmore Leonard, in a novel, Freaky Deaky, had a great line. It doesn't have to make sense. It just has to sound like it does. And that's right. Isn't that right? Especially in social media. Now, on the flip side, if you were raised like Larry David to think that you couldn't do anything, then consider how advantaged you might be. Any success would be outstanding. I mean, any success would be remarkable. I mean, with such a low bar, it doesn't take much effort to clear that. Young people seem to be positively impressed. I've read way too much about this, especially young teens in trouble, young teens with, you know, kind of a bad past, especially a criminal past. There's compelling evidence. Catch these kids doing something good instead of catching them doing something bad. Focus on them doing something positive. And, well, there's just something transformational about it. Well, there's no shock there, really. Praise is a proven tool for affecting positive change. Yeah, this isn't about ignoring criminal behavior. It's not about ignoring bad or poor behavior in others or in yourself. And in the door comes confidence. That single ingredient that everybody agrees is necessary for superior performance. And this collides quite nicely with setting high expectations. I mean, come on, how can you achieve high confidence while simultaneously having high expectations? And this is where, for me, this is where it all kind of falls apart. And this is where confidence is often lost. And nearly everyone will tell you, well, without confidence, you just can't get from here to there. And yet, here's the internet coming to life again. Fail more, they tell us. Fail more. If you're not failing, you're not trying. You've heard that before. We hear that all the time. If you're not failing, now let's think about this. Well, now I think we're just being stupid, because that can't be right, can it? If you're not failing, you're not trying. So I'm trying to succeed, but if I succeed, then I'm not trying hard enough. And if I'm failing, then I'm trying harder than if I succeed. That hardly seems fair. Good, because it's not fair and it's not right. It's fat-headed logic at best. proving perhaps that we are surrounded by too many fatheads. And I don't mean those sports hero action poses that we can buy to stick on our walls. No, not those kind of fatheads. Real fatheads. In 2016, I encountered more people, and I'm not sure why this is. I'm not saying there were more. I'm saying I encountered more people who felt like they were failing when in reality, they were kind of sort of succeeding or getting closer to success than not. I don't really think it was the year as much as it maybe the pervasive philosophy that has crept into people's brains because of all the connectivity that we've got and all the stories that we hear and all the noise. All this talk of winning has likely created, I think, more losers or people who feel like losers. So what does this mean for leaning toward wisdom in 2017? And boy, today's show got started off very differently, didn't it? It means I'm going to do some pivoting. No, I don't yet know what that's going to look like or sound like, and I'm not going to be tricking things up in that, okay, now Leaning Toward Wisdom is going to be this interview-based show. Might I do some interviews? I don't know. We'll see. I'm coming to you today here at the 1st of January, 2017, a brand new year with a little bit of a different episode telling you that mostly I just don't want to stand pat. I want to try some things. But I do think there is something to the magic of the height of low expectations. And while that is, yes, a play on words, small wins and feeling some sense of accomplishment lead to bigger wins and bigger senses of accomplishment. Look at your life and look at any endeavor that you've tried and succeeded, and you will find that that's the case. Yes, there may be once in a while, there may be something that entered your life, some endeavor that you tried and right out of the gate, it just felt right and it fit and you were able to do it almost instantly and do it well. But there probably are far more things that you tried that with and it didn't work at all. Now, let's not misunderstand this. When Larry David says, and perhaps he's joking, perhaps he's being very realistic, that he was raised to think that he couldn't do anything, that's not the recipe for success. Even though it may be true, and Larry David is wildly successful. I was pondering youth programs. I was pondering some weeks ago is when the genesis of all this really got started for me. I was pondering all the disadvantaged young people, and I have a soft spot in my heart for young people, particularly teens. And I would say particularly, 16 to 19 year olds. I mean, in that range of getting out of high school, starting college, trying to figure out, what you want to do, trying to figure out who you want to do it with and those sorts of things. And as I was talking with some people that are involved in some nonprofit operations, and there are a number of them in a city as large as Dallas-Fort Worth, and that's a good thing. The bad thing is that there's such a crazy high need for it. But that quote from Larry David that I had made a note of some years ago, a comment that he had made in an interview, raised to think that he couldn't do anything, and I realized there are a lot of kids, all kidding aside, that they are being raised that way. And I had encountered some story of a person who no adult had ever expressed any love, no adult had ever expressed any admiration, no adult had ever expressed any appreciation, no adult had ever expressed, when this person was a young person, had never expressed any sense of pride in this person. And it just got me to thinking about the power of expectations. And I've told you this story before because it's a great story, and it was how the beginning of the book Vital Friends by Tom Rath began, when he's interviewing homeless people and trying to find out what's your story. And the book begins with, and I won't belabor it, but just for those of you that may not have heard the story, so that you'll have some context here. He runs across a gentleman, and this gentleman had been an engineer. He had a job. He didn't particularly like his job. Well, he liked the job okay, but he really had a best friend at work. But they had a tyrant for a boss, a real jerk. And over time, the best friend gets laid off or got fired. Well, now he doesn't have anybody at work. And he starts frequenting the neighborhood bar after work, kind of falls into the bottle, ends up losing his family, had a wife and two kids and the white picket fence and two cars and the whole bit, loses it all, loses the job, just really lost his way. And that had happened many years ago, according to the story. And as they're sitting now on a street curb having this conversation, Tom Rath asks him the big question that has just stuck in my mind since that book came out many years ago. Who expects anything of you anymore? And the man looked at him and he said, I don't guess anybody expects anything of me anymore. Yeah, there's the power of expectation. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the height of the expectation. But here's a guy who's been out on the street for years and years and years now, who doesn't have anybody in his life that expects anything of him anymore. And of course, the book is entitled Vital Friends, and it really is a book about the importance of having great connections and great friendships, at work and otherwise. I mean, this sense of camaraderie, this sense of we're in this together kind of a thing is a huge, huge thing. I can tell you that what's in store for 2017 for me, work-wise, what's in store for me is, well, there's a couple of things. Let me get you up to speed, shall I? Leo Battari, B-O-T-T-A-R-Y, leobattari.com. Leo is a co-author of a book entitled The Power of Peers. As I reach over here for my copy of said book, The Power of Peers. And the subtitle of the book is How the Company You Keep Drives Leadership, Growth, and Success. Now, Leo co-wrote this with Leon Shapiro. And at the time, Leon Shapiro was the CEO of Vistage International in San Diego. And Leo was the vice president of peer influence for Vistage. Leon has since stepped down and is now on the board of directors, where he remains. And Leo stepped away and is embarking on some new career paths for him. So that's what 2017 is going to look like for Leo. He's going to do more writing, more speaking. And I am helping Leo produce his podcast called The Year of the Peer. And it's all about how the company we keep makes all the difference in the world. The people that we hang around with, that makes a big, big difference. And it does because expectations are there. And what goes along with expectations is this thing called accountability. I know it's a dirty, dirty word, and some of us, we hate it. But think about your life without it. If there's no accountability, then there's no expectation. You can't have one without the other, not if it's done correctly. And I got to thinking about this, and I got to thinking about that the power of that with young people. I got to thinking about the power of a young person who does not have an adult in their life that expects anything of them. They don't expect them to amount to anything. They don't expect them to even go to school. They don't expect them to be gainfully employed at some point in their life. And they just don't expect anything. And as a result, you got a young person who's got no accountability in their life. Because again, expectations and accountability go hand in hand. And for some reason, you know, being the guy that I am and the way that my mind works, I began to think about that, and I began to think about my own life, and I began to think about it in the context of my work. I begin to think about it in the context of my faith. I begin to think about it in the context of you. I begin to think about it in the context of leaning toward wisdom. And, okay, what expectations are there on your part? What do you expect of me? What do I expect of you? And that sounds odd, I think, for a podcast and a podcaster and many people out there who are clicking play that I may have never heard from, don't have a clue who you are. You know, you're a stat. But you're not just a stat. There's something so much more going on here. I mean, when I started this project many years ago, it was a legacy project for sure. I had enough savvy and enough technical wherewithal to know in 1997 that I could put an MP3 file, upload it to the internet, and that it would be there. Now, we didn't know anything about subscription and RSS and all that stuff. It wasn't called podcasting. It was just, hey, I could take an MP3 file, one that's not so big, upload it, and send that link to anybody anywhere. They could click play and they could hear me speak. That's pretty awesome. Enter podcasting, where we can make this stuff kind of serialized and subscribable, and it can hit our inbox or it can hit our podcast catcher without us doing much of anything. And you've got something really ridiculously powerful. I began leaning toward wisdom because that last word was really the crux of it all, wisdom. And I wasn't arrogant enough then, and I'm not arrogant enough now to think, come on, I'm this great whatever. I've got it all nailed down. Listen to me. It wasn't that. And hence that picture of leaning toward. And it really was more hope than necessarily fact. I hope to lean toward wisdom. And in my hope of my leaning toward wisdom, I hope maybe to help somebody else lean toward wisdom. Most notably, what I wanted to do is help my kids, my grown kids. And when I started this, I had no grandkids at the time. The grandkids came later. That's how long this project has been going. Now, much of that audio you won't find at Leaning Toward Wisdom. In fact, when I reiterated and I started the podcast episode numbers now with a 4,000 because 4,000 was the fourth iteration. It's not that I've got 4,000 episodes, although who knows. But the audio is out there. I've got the audio. I've recorded a ton of stuff over the last 15 plus years. But no, it's not all in the RSS feed and it's not all at Leaning Toward Wisdom. And this thing is morphed and it's adapted. And I'm going to continue to do that. And I'm going to do that in part because of my own boredom. And I'm not bored, but I don't want to get bored. And I'm also doing it in part because I want the expectation to continue to kind of ratchet up. I don't want it to be crazy high. I don't have lofty goals. I got some goals. Do I want to reach more people? Well, sure. Why? I just think these are important things to think about. I think the questions are important. I don't know that I've got the answers. I know that I got questions. And I hope over time to develop increasingly better questions. And I know that what is true for a young person is true for an old person. Expectations matter. I've had way too many conversations with older people, and I have intentionally, I'm trying to think of an example I could give you without betraying anything, and I just can't think of one, but I can, let me fictionalize one. Let's suppose that you know some old person, and they're kind of shut in. Their health is okay, but their health is kind of failing, but they can still, they're mobile, they're self-sufficient, right? They're not bedfast. They're not a shut-in. But you get some sense there's just nothing left to kind of reach for. You thinking of somebody like that in your life? And maybe you haven't talked to them in a while. Maybe you haven't reached out in a while. And you give them something to aim for. It could be something as innocuous as some date of an event. It could be a graduation of a grandchild or a great-grandchild. Or it could be an upcoming wedding. We've all seen and probably have had personal experiences with older people in our life. There was something to shoot for, right? There was some date out there. You hear this quite commonly with people who are terminally ill. There's some date out there of some event. They would like to live long enough to see that event. And isn't it amazing how many of those stories we hear? Now, I don't have any empirical evidence that this is true, but it is kind of rather amazing the number of stories that you hear where people, they survived. They met that date. And once that date was met, they passed. So I think anybody that says, well, there's not much power in an expectation, I beg to differ. I think there's tremendous power in an expectation. And I think we owe it to each other to expect things. Now, what do we expect? Do we expect exponential growth? Do we, you know, that's the quandary. The quandary is, to what degree do we keep elevating that expectation? I know this, when you think about, there's kind of three revolving thoughts here. There's expectation, there's accountability, and there's confidence. And I really can't think of a way to disconnect these three. I think we've got to incorporate all three. We got to think about all three. We could set the expectation so high that we lose confidence because, well, even moments of success feel like failure. That's what really resonated with me and stood out in 2016 is the number of people that really were pushing hard, working hard, hustling it hard, but based on the noise and based on their own sense of self and based on their own gauging of where they were versus where they felt other people were, not necessarily even people that they knew, but a lot of it internet-based. A lot of it kind of cultural, societal pressure that I think in large part is based on internet stories of crazy, insane success. I mean, take a startup, tech or otherwise. If you take a startup and a startup, you know, expects to have some billion-dollar exit strategy, that's great and wonderful. How many startups would you suppose have a billion-dollar exit strategy that really happens? You do realize that that is such an insanely small portion of the startup. So does that mean if you don't have a billion-dollar exit strategy, you have failed? No. But doesn't it feel like failure if you don't? Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Inner confidence. And we know that if we can succeed at something and we build on that and we succeed and we build on that and we succeed and we figure some things out and we build on that, you know what's happening all along the way. Yes, the expectations are stair-stepping upward, but so is the confidence. And all along the way, you can't escape the accountability of it. Food for thought. So what has all this got to do with 2017? Well, namely this. What are my expectations and what are your expectations? What would be the height of our low expectations here at Leaning Toward Wisdom? You have given me the courtesy and the honor to click play or to click subscribe, and I'm thankful for that. I truly am. And if I haven't heard from you, I would like to hear from you. And you can do that in two ways. I'm going to tell you the very first way that I'd like you to do it. If you are on Facebook, I would like you to go to the website at leaningtowardwisdom.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, it has a Facebook. Stay current. Join our group. I'd love you to click that. It'll take you straight to the Leaning Toward Wisdom Facebook group, not a page, a group, a closed, secret, private group just for Leaning Toward Wisdom listeners. You won't automatically be in. It'll kind of virtually knock on my door, and I'll get some notification that, hey, Larry, Bob, Mary, June, whatever your name is, they want to join the group. I'll approve that. I'll let you in. All I ask then is that you behave yourself while you're inside. If you don't want to do that, or you're not on Facebook, then at least shoot me an email. Just go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com, click on that contact page, drop me an email. Tell me anything you want. Mostly, I'd like to know a little bit about you. I already know about me. I want to know about you. So I'd like to know about you. I'd like to know, how did you find me? How did you find the podcast? What do you think about the podcast? Is the podcast doing anything at all to serve you? Is it helping you in any way at all? Even if it's just provoking thought, even if it's just something that's kind of changing things up in your podcast habits, podcast listening habits. I don't care. Tell me whatever you want to tell me. Those are my calls to action. That's what you can do to help me figure out what's in store for 2017. Now, one thing on my mind is for the accountability to get higher and for the expectations to get higher. However, I want the expectations to stair step higher. Now, I'm a quantum leap guy, and anybody who, if you've listened to any of my work podcast stuff over at growgreat.com, that's the work stuff, the business stuff. I'm a huge believer in quantum leap. I'm a huge believer. And here's why. It's not that the expectation is quantum leap. It's that people are energized by quantum leaps. I've run organizations all of my adult life. And my philosophy is really simple. You lead people and you manage the work. And in leading people, I have just not found it profitable. I have not found it even acceptable to try to rally the troops for a 3% increase. But when you start challenging a group of people for a quantum leap, there's just something in the energy that happens. Is that an expectation? You know, I don't know. As I look back over the times that I have tried to make these quantum leaps happen, and there have been a lot of them, yeah, I'm fully expecting the group to step up, but the accountability isn't to berate people. If, for instance, if the quantum leap is we want 50% growth and you end up with 15% straight away, then you immediately start dogging people and you start poo-pooing the whole, nah, this is unacceptable. You know, we have not even come close. No. Ticking in the right direction. That's the objective. And sometimes the success doesn't happen as quickly as we would like. Sometimes the expectation is we want what we want. We want it now. Well, okay. Now doesn't always happen. Can we be moving in the right direction though? Can Leaning Toward Wisdom as a podcast for this episode, for episode 4106, can I gain one more listener? One. That's a win. That's movement in the right direction. That's perfectly fine with me. Now, I realize there's a lot of podcasters out there, and the whole thing is making money. Leaning Toward Wisdom is not about making money. I don't ask for any money. I don't want any money. I will accept if people want to donate Apple iTunes gift cards, because I'm a huge believer in buying music and supporting musical artists, and so I'm all about that. I would encourage you, if you don't want to send me Apple gift, then buy the music that you love. Support the people that are creating the music, because music's a big deal for me. And I think it's probably a big deal for you, or you probably wouldn't be listening to the podcast. And while it's not so much about music, we just incorporate the music in this whole quest for wisdom. So that's about the biggest financial kind of an ask that I have. So there's no money component here of me trying to leverage this and monetize some small, medium, or big crowd of people. Not trying to do that. Not asking you to help me with hosting. I'm not asking you for anything except connection. Join the Facebook group. Contact me via the contact page over at the website. And that's the ask. But occasionally people, hey, some way we can support you because we kind of like what you do. And yeah, send me an Apple iTunes gift card. And if you don't want to do that, then I love to read. Give me an Amazon gift card. I'll take that too. That's it. But I've got expectations. And the expectation is just upward trajectory. One more listener. One more person, one person at a time. Perfectly cool with me. In fact, preferable for me. I'm not interested in being on some platform and there just being seas of people. No, I'm interested in a group that's smaller, more compact, more intimate. But I'd kind of like to know who these people are. I'd kind of like to get to know who you are. And so by connecting with me, either Facebook or through that contact page, I can kind of get to know who you are. That's for my benefit. Now, I hope it helps you too, because we're kind of in this together, this thing called life, this thing of trying to figure all this out, this modern tales of an ancient pursuit. People have been pursuing wisdom for a long, long time. And a ton of people, it has completely evaded them. We don't want it to escape us. I'm hoping to lean further and further away from my own foolishness. And in doing that, I'm hoping to help you lean further away from your own foolishness and us lean more toward wisdom. And that really is the only object of the game here. How best to do that in 2017? I'm not sure. And I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I am sure of this. It's going to be some differences, slight, maybe monumental. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'd love to tell you as we sit here at the beginning of January, 2017, I've got all this figured out. I've got it all strategized and here's what you need to do. And I'll show you no, it's not like that. This is a live breathing experiment. We're just doing what we got to do. And sometimes we're doing what we got to do to get through another day. I hope that you are achieving crazy wild success, but I know a lot of people are not. And I know a lot of people that appear to be achieving crazy high success, but yeah, behind closed doors, all that glitters ain't gold. So I'm smart enough, I'm wise enough, and I'm experienced enough to know that sometimes what you see on TV, sometimes what you see on the internet, sometimes what you hear and you read, it's just not the real story. It's not the whole story. We see people planting the flag at the top of the mountain. What we don't see, because it's just not as interesting for many people. We want to see the victory celebration, but the arduous work. We see the game on television, and we see who wins and we see who loses. The week, the months, the years of preparation and practice and sweating and the agonizing defeats, whether it's an injury, whether it's some personal drama and tragedy, whether it's a coach calling you in saying you're no longer a part of the team and now you uproot your family and you move to some other distant city to give it a go again. We don't see that stuff. That's not the sexy stuff. The sexy stuff is the team that hoists the trophy, or the team that's on the sidelines brokenhearted because they don't raise the trophy. Those are moments in time. Moments in time. All the other time, all those other compounded moments, compounded hours and days and weeks and months and years of preparation, working it, getting ready for it. We don't see that stuff. And so sometimes I think we don't think that that stuff is real. because that's not the stuff we see. What's real is the game on Sunday, the game on Saturday. That's what we see. That's real. No, what's real is what you don't see. What's real is what you don't know. You know that's true. You know it's true in your life. There is this persona. You may not be a public name. I'm not. But there's this persona that the people who know you have of you. That tell the whole story? Does that tell your whole story? No. That doesn't even tell one-tenth of your story. Your story is all that stuff they don't know. Your story is all that struggle that they don't see. Your story is all those moments of depression and anxiety and fear and worry and sadness and gloom and laughter and joy and happiness that they don't see. Because by and large, in an internet world, you know what we can do? We can do it better than we've ever been able to do it before, thanks to the internet. We can put on the facade, and we can make people think what we want them to think. It's not real fun. That's why I'm the guy who's willing to, I tell people this, I need to find a better metaphor, but I use this one because everybody can understand it, but I don't mean it literally, obviously. I'm a guy willing to show my underwear. You know, I don't know. And part of that, frankly, is for my own benefit, my own leaning toward wisdom. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be a guy who's out here trying to put myself forward as being somebody who's better than you, who's got it figured out better than you, who's smarter than you, who's wiser than you. I need to behave the way I'm behaving for my own benefit. And as much as I'd love to tell you it's for your benefit, it's not. It's for my own. It's so that I can battle my own hubris and my own pride and my own ego. And while my natural tendency might be to be very self-deprecating, I'm doing it for my own good, my own benefit. So there's that. Boy, this wasn't what you thought, was it? Hell, me neither. You know, I knew a little bit before I hit record. You know me better than this. You know that I prepare. But I really wasn't sure where I was going to go with this, and I'm still not sure where I'm going to go with it. I will tell you this, you're going to have a large part to play in it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to dictate it, but you're going to have a large something to do with it. I'd like to hear from you. If you choose to join the Facebook group and you choose to shoot me a message there, that's great. If you want to reach me out through the contact page and share something a bit more private, perfectly okay. Happy, happy, happy to have either kind of interaction, or if you really want to go crazy, both. Do both. It's 2017, kids, and maybe it is time to turn over a new leaf. Maybe it is time to change up some things. Here's the bottom line, and here's what I want for you more than anything. I want you to recognize your success, and I want it to feel like success. I want you to put blinders on and put your earphones on, put some music on, and start embracing what you know is being successful. You know it's working. You know it's moving in the right direction. It might not be moving as quickly as you want, but you need to embrace making sure that your success is feeling like success. Too many people, they are succeeding, but it feels like failure because they're too busy comparing themselves to other people. Stop doing it. Man, let's make 2017 the year where we stop doing that. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome, kids, to 2017 inside the Yellow Studio.